Foundations Lesson Number 20, God and the Trinity, Part 1. The Bible nowhere attempts to prove or argue the existence of God. The scriptures below give us the Bible's approach to the subject of the existence of God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists." And Psalm 14:1, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." The writers of the scripture, both Old and New Testaments, clearly portrayed the existence of God as a fact which was simply taken for granted, and rightly so. Whereas few people contend the existence of God, many contend about his nature. It's therefore very important for us to study what God has revealed about himself in the scripture. There are two main reasons why this lesson needs to be included in a course designed for new believers. First of all, since God is infinite and we are finite, it can be difficult for us to grasp who he is, so any help we can receive in understanding God is more than worth it. But secondly, the truths in this lesson separate biblical Christianity from cults and false religions. All groups who profess to worship God claim to be true, but the truth of God's word is the standard by which all claims must be judged. What God has written about himself has to be the basis, the foundation, of our understanding of who he is. If we humans on our own were to try to discover or try to figure out who God is, we would get it wrong every time. That's why man-made religions differ so vastly from one another. That's also why the only hope we have of getting it right is for God to reveal himself to us. Much to our great relief and even greater blessing, he's done exactly that by providing us with his written word. We humans, in humility, are required to accept God's written word as the only basis and the only hope we have for knowing who God is, or for knowing him personally and experientially. But many don't want to humble themselves, so they either disregard God's word completely, or they pick and choose which parts of God's written revelation they want to accept and which parts they want to reject. In doing so, they, in great pride, are actually setting themselves up to be the final authority, something no human is even remotely close to being qualified to do. So let's study what God has revealed about himself. Roman numeral number 1 on our outline addresses the issue of the nature of God in essence. What that means is, if nothing existed other than God, what would he be like? What could he do? How could he be described or identified? God is eternal, which means there never has been and never will be any point in time where God hasn't existed. He always has been and always will be. Like a ring which goes around and around, but it doesn't have a beginning or an ending, so also God has never begun to exist and will never cease to exist. Psalm 90 verse 2 says this, "Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." 1 Timothy 1:17, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Revelation 22:13, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." By the way, Alpha and Omega are simply the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. In English terms, it would be as if were God declaring that he is the A and the Z. God knows all things. When we talk to fellow humans, often we have to explain how we're feeling or what happened or what was said. But when we talk to God, that's completely unnecessary. He knows all those things far better and in far greater detail than we do. He never needs our information. Psalm 147 verse 5 says, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit." Proverbs 21:30, "There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord." 1 John 3:20, "For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything." Next, God is omnipresent, which means that his presence is everywhere. Psalm 139 verses 7 through 10, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, If I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. This concept can be a little difficult for us to grasp because we're so accustomed to the physical world in which we live, where any space can only be occupied by one object at a time. We just have to realize that in the unseen realm, the realm of the spirit, those limitations don't exist. And, unlike the pantheistic view of God that says that God is everything, the Bible makes a clear distinction between God the Creator and His creation. God is distinct from the universe He's created, but you can't go anywhere in the universe to escape from His presence. He knows everything, He sees everything, He is everywhere. He also continues to be deeply concerned about all that He's created. No one can rightfully accuse God of being an absentee father. Scripture also makes it plain that there's nothing God can't do. Luke 1:37, "For nothing is impossible with God." Jeremiah 32:17, "Ah, Sovereign Lord, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for You." Over 300 times in the Scripture, God has revealed Himself as the Almighty. He can do absolutely anything. We have to be careful. God has many aspects to His nature, and we need to understand and appreciate every one of them. No single one of His attributes alone gives us anywhere close to a complete picture of this person who's created us and everything else. Is God almighty? Absolutely He is, but He's also incredibly tender. The Scripture says that the mountains melt like wax before the Lord, and that the voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. Yet with great gentleness and delicacy we read that a bruised reed He will not break, and a smoldering wick He will not snuff out. We can be comforted and encouraged that God has always been in the business of revealing Himself to humans, if we're truly hungry to know Him. He desires, even longs for us to know Him better and better. So as we love Him, seek Him, and walk with Him, we will have greater first-hand knowledge of the Holy One. He'll see to that. He's faithful. God also describes Himself as a consuming fire. Hebrews 12:28 and 29. "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Deuteronomy 4:24, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." Deuteronomy 9:3, "But be assured today that the Lord your God is the one who goes across ahead of you like a devouring fire." Then, as we discovered in Lesson 14, God is life. 1 John 5:20, "He is the true God and eternal life." John 14:6, "Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." 1 Timothy 6:13, "In the sight of God who gives life to everything." It only stands to reason that the God who gives eternal life to believers has eternal life in Himself so that He can give it away. We also see in Scripture that God is light. That's a great contrast with the realm of sin and evil, which is identified as darkness. Light reveals, but darkness conceals. Those who attempt to cover up their deeds of darkness will eventually find out that because God is light, He is more than capable of unmasking their secret acts. The Scripture declares that the light shines in the darkness. Everything that is now concealed will be brought out into the open. You can read about that in Luke 12:2-3 and Ephesians 5:8-14. 1 John 1:5 says, "This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all." 1 Timothy 6, "God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see." John 8:12, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, I am the light of the world. "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." If you walk into a room that's completely dark, you have to be careful. Why? Because you can't see where you're going. If you start running, you'll probably get hurt. In the same way, the people of this life who don't know God have no idea where they're going. God's light is the only hope for them. Amen.